Now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist Susan Frank.
Hello, and welcome to Wild About Pets. This is the show where we talk about pets and wild animals. Today, we are talking about dogs. I have a companion website to this program that allows you to see photographs of the animals we talk about on this show. And you can also see a photo of the day's guest speaker. My website is wildaboutpets.net, and the easiest way you can get to that page of photos is simply by clicking the purple Look While You Listen button on my show page here at TalkZone. Are you a parent that has just decided to get that puppy for your kids? Or still thinking about it, or already have one? Do you actually want them to take care of that dog? Michelle and Barack Obama have said that they want their girls to take part in the care of the new dog that will be coming to the White House. But how does this actually happen? How do you turn your child's promise into a practical reality? My guest today has advice that the Obamas can benefit from, as well as all parents who are counting on their children to take care of their pets. She is Andrea McHugh, the author of Your Child's Dog, How to Help Your Kids Care for Their Pets. She has many answers for us. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you very much, Susan. Thank you. It's lovely to be on the show.
I am thrilled to have you on the show today, Andrea. Andrea McHugh is the author of several dog care books, including the one we will be talking about today. She is also a freelance journalist specializing in pets and pet care. Andrea is speaking to us from Lincolnshire in the United Kingdom today. And we have a number of photos from Andrea's book and other cute dog and children photos on my website. So if you'd like to see these photos while we are chatting with Andrea, make sure you go to my Look While You Listen feature. Just click the purple button on my TalkZone show page. If you are there, you will see the first photos are of some adorable puppies. Andrea, let's start with those families who don't have a dog yet. Lots of children put pressure on their parents to buy them a dog, but do we presume that it's not always advisable to give in to their demands?
Yes, it is. It is definitely not always advisable. In fact, I am very much under pressure at the moment to buy a new dog for my own daughter because we lost our own little dog about a year ago. But the thing is, you have to take into account, or even if you feel emotionally ready to get a dog, you have to work out whether you've got the time and commitment to look after that dog properly and make sure it's well and happy for a long time, because dogs, you know, they can live for quite a long time. Small dogs up to the age of 16, 17 years, it's quite common. So it's a long-term commitment, and you need to really work out whether you are ready to do that at this stage in your life, and especially with young children. They are, as you say, full of promises that they will help to look after the dog and you won't have to do anything, but that is quite unrealistic. Parents do have to play a role, obviously.
So what are the most important things to take into account when choosing the dog?
Well, I think you have to think about, obviously, where you live, you know, whether you live in a large house, whether you're in a rural area, or, you know, whether you've got you're in a big town or a city. All of these things will influence what kind of dog you can have, how many children you have in your family, or how many children you're planning to have. If you're planning to add to your family sort of imminently, then maybe it's time to, you know, wait until you've had a new baby before you actually get a puppy in particular. So you have to take into account your child's personality, and, you know, what other activities they have in their lives, such as if they're crazy about football or ballet, and these things are all very important to them and take up their time, then you have to take all of that into consideration, as well as budget, of course. here in the UK, and I think it's the same everywhere at the moment, you know, we're all sort of suffering from a recession and a credit crunch, and, you know, money is quite tight. So you have to take into account your budget, you know, and whether you can really afford to take on a pet at this time.
Those are all very good considerations. And besides going to a library for, let's say, and looking up some books, what would you suggest for how a family can research what kind of dog would be best for the family based on some of those considerations?
Well, there are lots of things you can do. First of all, you could try and see if there are any neighbours that have dogs, because that's often, peer pressure is often what makes children want to have dogs in the first place.
Yes.
their best friends have got a dog, or you know, somebody else in the family, an aunt or an uncle, or somebody's got a dog, and they're just so cute. All puppies are cute, as we know, absolutely adorable, particularly the ones on your website.
Well, thank you.
They are just adorable, these puppies. But, you know, dogs do grow into large dogs, and they need a lot of, you know, attention, obviously, and exercise and other things. So it may be advisable to find one of your neighbours that's got a dog and see if you can, your child can speak to them about, you know, what is involved in looking after a dog. Maybe go out on some walks with the dog. Get them involved. See if they're quite as keen on walking on a cold, wet day as they are on a sunny afternoon. Things like that. You can, obviously, the libraries, the internet are full of information about dogs and different breeds. You can you will need to register with a veterinary surgeon anyway. Your veterinary surgeon should become, you know, one of your best friends when you're a pet.
Mm-hmm.
They're a huge source of information. They will have lots of leaflets, the nursing staff there will be, you know, more than happy to talk to you, provided that you go at a time when they're not madly busy. So find as much information as you can from your vet. And also the Kennel Club, the American Kennel Club, that, you know, there will be a lot of information available from them. They will have all of the different breeds listed. And you can work out which dogs are high maintenance, which dogs are low maintenance. Visit some animal charities, perhaps, with your children and have a look around. Maybe volunteer with them to, you know, do a little bit of work, walking the dogs and caring for them. All of these things can help you to familiarize yourself and your children with what is actually involved rather than what they see on the television.
Excellent suggestions. Actually, I wish I had followed the one about talking to my neighbors. When I was a child and I got my dog, it was really because my neighbors, my best friends, Patty and Alice, had gotten a dachshund. And I refer to this in photograph number 3.
Yes.
And so actually, I ignored what they were saying about the dachshund because I had seen photos of a beagle. And so my family got a beagle. But the beagle proved to be a very challenging dog to have, probably in consideration or comparison to that dachshund.
Right. Well, that's a lesson learned then, isn't it?
Yes, it was. And also, if anyone is following along with the pictures, in pictures 4 and 5, also we mentioned something that you mentioned in your book, Andrea, the size of a dog, small or large. Is it good to have a puppy or an older dog?
Yeah, well, it is important. I mean, obviously, you know, that your home it will sort of guide you slightly as to, you know, whether you get a small dog or a large dog. But there are other things to bear in mind. Small dogs tend to live quite a bit longer than large dogs. Large dogs, particularly some of the giant breeds, their lifespan can sometimes only be about 7 or 8 years, realistically. Whereas the smaller dogs, they tend to live much longer, sometimes into their late teens. So that's something to take into consideration, because if you've got a child and you're buying them a dog, then you have to think that by the time that child has grown up and gone to college, then you may be the one that's left looking after,
mm-hmm.
which can have its own pros and cons and benefits. But that's something that is to take into consideration, the lifespan of a smaller or a large dog. Also, you know, a large, big dog can be more difficult for a child to physically manage. You know, they can be very strong. And also, with a small child, they can just be so much physically larger than the child themselves. So, you know, there can be problems which can be overcome, but, you know, you have to take into all of these things into consideration and be quite an experienced dog owner if you're going to take on, you know, very big dogs with small children. Not to say that small dogs can't be problematic as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's definitely to be taken into consideration. And the older dogs, you know, bless them, they quite often get left behind when they're overlooked, when they're in favour of puppies,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, particularly if you're getting one from a pound. And, you know, and there can be lots of lovely dogs in there that just really do need, you know, a good family home. They're probably in there for no, you know, through no fault of their own, quite frankly. And, you know, they're overlooked by the puppies. But as I say, puppies don't, you know, they're not in that puppy stage too long.
Right.
And they may be, you might find that an older dog is already house trained and, you know, is already socialised and is used to being with a family. So, you know, if time and is of importance and you're a very busy family, then a slightly older dog may be worth looking into.
You spoke of some advantages and disadvantages. What would you say are some of the pros and cons of dog ownership for children?
Well, there's a lot of benefits and some disadvantages. But, I mean, really, it teaches a child how to think about something other than themselves, because to children, you know, their world revolves all around them. So to actually think of something, a living creature, and begin to develop a sense of responsibility for caring for a living creature and looking after it is an invaluable life lesson, and one of many sort of valuable life lessons that can be learned. They can make a child... they can give a child confidence, they can be a companion for them, they can help them to grow and get lots of fresh air and exercise. There are lots of those things. There's also been quite a lot of research studies done about the benefits of pet ownership, quite interestingly. Some of those things that when I was researching for my book, I found out that children with pets, one study showed that children with pets tend to be fitter and more sociable than those without pets. Another study found that autistic children with pets tend to show more pro-social behaviours and less autistic behaviours than those without pets. And also, interestingly, I thought that children exposed to pets during the first year of life tended to have a lower frequency of allergic reactions, allergic rhinitis and asthma, probably because they've been introduced to sort of to things from an early age.
Yes, and building their immune system, I suppose.
Exactly. But, you know, there are also some disadvantages to pet ownership and dog ownership. They can sort of put an end to sort of spontaneity in the family, because you always have to think about the dog.
Yes.
You know, who's going to look after the dog? So on the days when you want to go on, you know, you want to go out for the day, and if you can't take the dog with you, or you're going to visit a family friend, or, you know, you have a lot of football matches to go to, that kind of thing, spontaneous sleepovers, they're all going to become a thing of the past. Once you get a dog, your family life is never going to be the same again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have to make time for the dog and consider the dog, before you can do anything, really. So that can be a disadvantage, and also, as I mentioned before, you know, it will be a drain on the family budget. You will have vets bills, food, insurance, boarding fees to consider when you're away, and that allergy thing, which is something that does concern people in your family, or it may be that your children's friends are allergic. You know what I mean? You have to sort of consider all those things, and they can be a disadvantage, and they need to be explored before you get the dog. Otherwise, you know, there can be problems in the future, and it will just be one more dog that ends up in a rescue pound, which is heartbreaking for everybody concerned.
Yes, and I like that you're posing some things to think about besides some of the obvious ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say so a family has decided that they want the dog and they know what kind they're going to get. Is there, in your mind, a perfect time to get a dog?
A perfect time to get a dog? Well, I would say not when you are in the middle of moving house. So I'm thinking of President Obama and his family as well. This may not be actually the perfect time to get a dog, because You know, dogs like routine, and they like things to be quite stable, and people to have time for them and to look after them. And so, moving house, or when you've got a lot of building work going on in your home, or something like that, that can be quite difficult. Lots of children ask for a dog or a puppy for their birthday.
Yes.
But that's not always ideal. I mean, I would really sort of stay away from that option, because it's just so busy in the house that, you know, to produce a little puppy in the middle of a birthday party is quite difficult. But, you know, children, you can avoid disappointment by saying to people, yes, we're going to get the dog, but we're going to have it actually, you know, a few days after your birthday. But we can, you can ask for presents. You know, you can buy a collar or a lead or a dog bowl, so that the child is reassured that, you know, they are actually going to get the dog, but not actually on the day of their party, because it would be a little bit stressful for a puppy to arrive at that time. So maybe one of the best times, I think, is when things are quite quiet, maybe after the summer holidays and before the Christmas holidays, when the children are, you know, going back to school, so that they can enjoy playing with the dog before and after school, and that he can, you know, have a rest and recuperate from all the attention while they're away in their classes.
Great suggestions. Regarding the Obamas, we understand here that they're going to be waiting at least 2 more months. And Michelle said that they would get the dog after they got settled. Her exact quote was, because as responsible owners, I don't think it would be good to get a dog in the midst of transition, which is exactly what you were talking about.
Yes, very, very wise. Yes.
Now, the girls are good with waiting. They were fine with it. But then the Obamas said, the Americans, they are ready for us to get the dog now, which is kind of funny. Anyway, it is time for us to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more right after this.